Thank you. Very nice. So here we are with part two of our New Life Center of Truth here in Brooklyn, New York. How I utilize my 10,000 undifferentiated stem cells born daily in my brain. Now we're to the second part here. Advanced psychology. That's the application. The application is always one of the most exciting aspects of it. One of the most wonderful aspects of it. Because in the application of the idea of the white stem cells, of the pure, beautiful, undifferentiated stem cells, in the application of how we use them in our body, it's much like I do in the third hour of my three-hour meditation program. During the three-hour meditation program, I like to have the opportunity to listen to the divine in me, whatever it has to say. And what does the divine in me have to say? What does the divine in me have to say? What's the divine in you have to say? Well, we'll digress on that for just a moment. You have become very quiet, and you say, "All right, God, I'm listening. What are you going to tell me?" Okay, God, talk. I'm listening now. I'm giving you my attention. Talk. And God says, "Don't get snippy with me." Does God say that? Don't get snippy with me? You bet he does. You bet. That's our nature. You say to the kids, "You can't do this and you can't do that." And what do? They go do it. Mm-hmm. So you say to God, "God, I want you to talk to me. God, I've been praying to you, I've been listening to you, and I've been being open to you, and I've been sitting here in meditation for, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 second. Why aren't you talking to me? Why don't you talk?" And then the voice inside of you says, "I don't talk to naughty children." "What do you mean, naughty children?" "Well, you are treating me like something that you can order around." "Well, you do whatever I ask, don't you?" "I do whatever I want," the divine says. "Well, how do I figure out what you want, divine?" And the divine says to us, "You figure out what I want by listening to what you want." "Well, God, I just smashed my car, and it's a mess. And nobody was hurt, thank goodness. Thank God. Nobody was hurt, but the car is a mess. Now, what am I going to do?" And God says, "Well, I think that was nice that you could smash your car." "You think it's nice? I should..." "God, what kind of a God are you saying it's nice that I could smash my car?" "Well, it is. You chose to lose your temper, to lose your control, to lose your ability to be in charge, and you smashed your car. That's what you chose to do. And you chose to do it. Nobody else did. You know you drive thousands and thousands of miles and never have a problem. But occasionally you have a problem and you lose your balance, you lose your control, you lose your direction, and you're not in charge." "But God, yes, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, and that's all it's all about. But God, you're not supposed to let any accidents happen. You're not supposed to let any difficulties happen. You should never let death happen or illness happen or other things." "Why not? What's wrong with death, illness, accidents, problems of any kind? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Are those things someone's choice? Is there anything in this universe that is bad? Is there anything in this universe that is incorrect or wrong? Is it incorrect to die? Is it incorrect to be sick? Is it incorrect to be poor? Is it incorrect to not have relationships and friendships that are important to you? Is that incorrect? Well, maybe it's not beneficial. Maybe it's not something that, if I were thinking about it, I wouldn't choose to do it. Oh, what did you say? What did you say? If you weren't thinking about it, you wouldn't choose to do it. If you weren't thinking about it, you see, you were thinking about it. We empower everything by our thought. And as we empower everything by our thought, we bring it into our... And there's no judgment as to whether it's right or wrong, good or bad. It just is and is. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing right with it. It's just and is. It just is an expression of what we are and who we are and what we're doing. Now, I would like to become a great writer. So I am going to go around reading the writings of people who are failures. I'm going to go reading the writings of people who are poor writers. I'm going to read the writing of people who are writing about things that are very successful, you know, all about sex and crime and stuff like that. I'm going to write about that sort of stuff. Oh, is that what you're going to write about? Well, that's what makes money. Well, do you know that there are a lot of people who have written about a lot of beautiful things that make a lot of money? What do they say is one of the greatest selling books in the world? An interesting book. Interesting book. It's got every aspect of writing in it. Now, if you want to be a writer and you want to write about the philosophy of positive thinking, what are you going to do? You're going to think positive. You're going to think positive, think positive, think positive, think positive. You come along and tell me it can't be done. I say, bah, think positive. It can be done. It can be done. You, fah. Come on, come on, come on. You can do it. Now, just hold your hand and let's walk there. And now see, now close your eyes. Close your eyes. Come on now. Come on. And she's walking with me. She's going right across that log, right across that big chasm. And she said, I would never do that. And so she's got her eyes closed, and she's holding my hand, and she's walking right behind me and going across that log, across that chasm, and she did it. And then I said, okay, now open your eyes. She said, I trust you. I said, that's a good thing you did. Now, open your eyes. She opens her eyes, and I said, now turn around. So she turns around. She sees that chasm, and she sees that log. She says, did I just walk across that? I said, yes, you did. I can't do that. And I said, you did it. You see, even your protestation saying you can't do it, you did it. Because you agreed to another principle. You agreed to believe in me and hold my hand and walk with me. And this is what many churches try to teach you. Walk with, holding the hand of Jesus, you know, going along the good path, the beautiful path. Well, Jesus' path was not a lot of roses and happy times. Jesus' path was, it's done unto you according to your belief. He didn't say that it's going to always be good. If you think good, it'll be good. If you don't think good, it'll not be good. You know, there's a lot of people who, like the Crusades, you all heard of the Crusades? The Crusades happened in the early King Arthur days, so to speak. And the different Christian groups thought they would go and save the Holy Grail and that sort of stuff. And they would come up to a person, do you believe? I don't know what it is you're talking about. You don't believe, you're dead, you know. Do you believe? Oh yes, I believe, you know. And so, they, I don't know what you're talking about, but I believe, you know. I saw him get killed because he didn't believe. So I believe, but you see, and what do we do? Expediency. I'm trying to tell you that we are dealing with something which comes with a big P on it. And the big P does not care whether it makes you happy or sad. It only says, however you use it, that's what you're going to get. You know what the big P is? The principle. There is only principle. There's only principle. You know, we have made God into a human being. And that's okay, but it makes them kind of limited. God is really pure energy, the allness, the isness, the everythingness that all is. Whatever our mind can think of, whatever our mind can dream of or conceive of or imagine, that's what the divine is. And when you learn to talk to the divine inside yourself, and you say, okay, divine, you're the greatest that there is. You're fantastic, you're glorious, you're beautiful. I'd like to have a new Rolls Royce. And divine says, what color? And you say, I'd like a black, you know. And what sort of appointments would you like in it? Everything, loaded. And okay, you want a chauffeur too? Well, what the heck, why not? Do you know that if you spoke your word that just casually, that that's what you'd like, shortly, you would have that. You would have that, and you'd say, but how could I have it? How could I afford something like that? I'm not a Bill Gates or something like that. And even Bill Gates doesn't have that. Well, Bill Gates doesn't want it. Bill Gates doesn't have to prove anything to himself. You know, he just has everything. But we might like to have it. So now, what would happen? 100 things could happen that would be brought into your life. Can you imagine some fantastic young man come along, as youthful and dynamic and young as you are, wealthy as can be, and you fall in love with him and you get married? You say, oh, come on now, I'm not interested anymore. Ha, ha, ha. You are always interested in love. You are always interested in oneness. And some fantastic person come along, Mr. Absolutely Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and then next thing, and he say, sweetheart, as an engagement present, I'm giving you a Rolls. You say, oh, I thought about that. I didn't know I'd be getting it. But again, we're being a little silly, but not. Don't joke with principle. You say you see yourself in a Rolls. Can she really see herself in a Rolls? Can't she? She says, oh, I don't care. Yes, she does. Do you know what Evelyn John says? You know what Evelyn John says? I am number one and I deserve the best. Is that bad?
No.
Not at all. Now, does she believe that?
Yes.
All right. When she believes it, she will accept the best in everything that comes her way and not push it away. Go ahead, accept his engagement present. And if your marriage isn't the thing that you want to have, he'll just say, well, sweetheart, I found somebody else. And your personal ego is not disturbed by it at all. You just knew that the divine worked out a principle that would help to make the situation right for you, and it did. And he said, now, my love, since we are not getting married, I want to at least give you a separation present of $3 billion. Now, can you handle that? And, oh, yes. Herb, you're talking foolishness. You're talking foolishness. No, nothing is foolish. And it's not wishing. It's just seeing it. It's just being it in your consciousness, in your heart, in your life. Being it. Now, can you be this in your physical body, in your emotional body? Can you be it in every area? Yeah. If I was looking at Evelyn here, I think of many of the rather prominent ministers of every church in Los Angeles over the many years, and these women ministers were fantastic, just fantastic. They had great congregations, great people, and all they did was tell them what was in their heart. That's all. Nice, huh? Nice. They wouldn't have to get up and prepare a lesson. They'd get up in front of the people and they'd look at them and say, you know, I love you. I love you. And God loves you, and you are loved, and you're fantastic, you're glorious. And the people say, oh, amen. And it's true. Always speak from your heart, always speak from the inner part of you, the part of you that says who and what you are and why you are who you are, and go for it. Her daughter was telling me today, Herb, I like your microphone there and your little recorder and so forth, but it's so obvious. And I told her, I said, you would have no trouble. Wear it in your hair. You know? No one would notice it at all. They'd think it was an ornament. Right? Right? Yeah. She's sitting back there laughing. Now, you know what you can do. You know what you should do. You know that applied psychology is when you apply these principles in an innocent way. A little child who says, I have a horse. You know? But you haven't got a horse. I have a horse. But don't be silly. I mean, you're talking dumb stuff now, talking about saying you got a horse when you haven't got a horse. Well, no, I got a horse. Well, where is your horse? You'll see. And the kid keeps putting the cause in motion. I got a horse. He believes it. They got good imagination. He believes it. And next thing you know, well, on the ranch, Anita Lope, she loves horses. And she became a monk for a number of years on the ranch, five, six years almost. And as she was there, she loved horses. Well, I wasn't about to have any horses on the ranch because that's things you had to take care of when you're not around, you know. And so I said, just treat that you have a horse. And so she treated that she had a horse. And two young men were living next door. And these two young men had some horses. And she went over to admire them one day. And she says, what lovely horses. Yeah, they're nice, aren't they? And they said, we never have a chance to ride them. We never have a chance to take them out and do anything. And, we sure would like it if somebody did. Well, may I do it? Oh, sure. The leashes, the harness and all the tack are all right up there. Use it however you like and go and enjoy the horses. So every day, during her pauses, during her break times, she would go over and take one of the horses and go riding. And just having the time of her life. She did not have to curry them. She did not have to take care. She didn't have to feed them. She didn't have to pay their hospital bills or, you know, debt bills or anything else like that. She didn't have, all she had to do was enjoy. Now, isn't that the way to have a Rolls Royce? You don't have to put gas in it. Just enjoy it. But you see, this is the art. And this was what Anita was very good at. Anita said to me one day, she says, you know, Herb, it'd be so nice if there was some man here that I could really be touched with. And so along comes Johnny Devine. And that's his name. John Charles Dainty from New Zealand. And he came to the ranch. And next thing you know, he and Anita are a thing. And they're still a thing. And that happened in the year 2000 or 1999. That's 7, almost 8 years now. And they're just having a ball. And they follow each other around the world, do all sorts of neat things. But you see, just casually putting it into motion, not saying it can't be done or it's impossible to be done or there's no way that it can be worked out, just letting it go and letting it happen. Now, this is advanced psychology. What did the fellow do in the prison? He said, forgive me for thinking you guys are criminally insane. Forgive me for thinking that. Now, why did he have to forgive himself? He took the job of thinking that they were. And he was unhappy that he was thinking that they were because he didn't want to think that they were. He wanted to think that they weren't. So he did reverse psychology, and his reverse psychology was so positive, so powerful, so absolutely amazing that it functioned 100%. It functioned 100%. What is this woman minister who was on stage and on television and all that sort of stuff?
Mariana Williamson.
No. It was another one in California. her name is with me at the moment, and she was quite good. And in religious science, we went down to visit her with all of our practitioners and watch her work. And she was in her 80s at the time, 78, 80, and she would stand up there and lecture for about an hour or so in the this great hall. They seated, I think, with 5,000 people, and it was full and overfull. And so people would come down to the front at the time for healing. And she'd say, well, there's somebody up here who's got this here, and somebody over here who's got this here, and somebody, and who knows, they might have been shills, they might have not. But they came down by the droves. And they came to the stage. And they came up to her, and she said to them, in the name of Jesus, and, you know, popped them on the forehead, and you're healed. And they fell back into the arms of the waiting helpers and left their crutches and left all those things there. Now, most of the people, Catherine Kuhlman, most of the people remained healed. They gave up their illness, they gave up their limitation. Many got it back because they put the same causes in motion that they had been doing before, which brought the illness. And this is something we are not always aware of what we're doing, but we sure are doing it. Now, Catherine Kuhlman was herself just a stick of a lady, and very excellent. She was, I think her father was a Methodist minister or something like that. And she would fill the auditorium, the Shrine Auditorium. She'd just fill it. And people would go there, and we sat up on stage with her because we were doing a research on it. You know. And so she just was amazing. Now, what was it that she did? What was it that she did that was so effective for people to no longer be ill? She had them believing that in the name of Jesus, they were healed. She had them believing in the name of Jesus. The disciples, they went out. They went out to people and they couldn't do it. Remember? They came back to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we can't preach and heal and raise the dead like you do. Why? He said, because of one thing. You don't believe. Okay, so now here comes this little old daughter of a Methodist minister, you know, and she gets up on stage and she says, the power of Jesus in me heals, and pow, 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 you know, and boom, the person's healed. She believes it. She generated that confidence through herself into the person she was working with. Pow! Now, that's stupid. That's stupid. But that's the way it works. That's the way this psychology works. Son, you're so wonderful. You make me so proud of you. Son, every time I turn around, you're doing something wonderful. You make me so happy. And little by little, this naughty little scoundrel becomes a nice little boy, which is always there. Little by little, the healing, which is always there in us, comes forth, expresses itself, because we stop thinking that we are sick. We stop thinking that it's no longer there. I'm whole and perfect, 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 whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Enunciate. Don't mess up your words. I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, you know. It's like doing the rosary, you know. Or saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Enunciate. Articulate. Make your words powerful. Be a Catherine Kuhlman and say, you're healed in the name of Jesus, you know. And you don't have to use the name of Jesus, but I mean, what the heck, any wind in the storm is going to push the boat forward. But we want to know more than just the wind in the storm. We want to be that wind. We want to be that power. We are that power. And we take credit for being that power. We take credit for this because that is not necessarily our white stem cells, our beautiful, undifferentiated stem cells. It is them that heal for us and uplift us and move us into our magic. But it is encouraging whomever we're with. The white stem cells, the beautiful, undifferentiated stem cells are crawling all over your head. And you're all perfect, and you're all wonderful, and you're all fantastic, and you're all glorious, and you're all... Yes, 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 yes. It is a principle. It is a principle. This is advanced psychology. One of my students, Sibyl Agabua, in Nigeria, is a super fantastic, magnificent lady. And she has three kids. And each of her kids are super geniuses, crazy geniuses. And one son is off on his trick, studying all the religions of the world. And another son I met, his name is Ugo, U-G-O. And Ugo came to hear me talk in his mother's house in Nigeria, in Owerri, and he sat at that end of the room. And I started talking, telling about the principle, how it works, and so on. And by the end of the hour, he had moved across the entire room until he was sitting right next to me. Then he decided he was going to be, well, he was working on it already, but he was going to be a medical doctor. So he came to London, took his tests, chip, became a medical doctor. Top of the class. Then he heard me speak at the New Hampton Medical Center in London, where his Aunt Christy is the head nurse. And she helped her sister, Sibyl, get the courses by paying for them for her. And so he was there, and he came to hear me again. And he again was sitting on the outer, in fact, he was behind a wall. We had a wall built up in a large waiting room area there so I could speak to a large group of people and still the patients could come in and sign in and go into the hospital. And so he was outside of this thing, the divider between beds and stuff like that, you know, that were there. And so next thing you know, he came in. And then he came in and he came closer and closer again. But he says, "Herb, I think that the mind is a wonderful thing. And I think, from what you tell me, the mind needs to be utilized to its highest and best." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I am going to become a psychiatrist." Here he is, just finished his medical degree and doing very well. So he lived with his aunt. And he was a normal-bodied human being. But he lived with his aunt, and he studied his psychiatric examination for all the tests, because you can take a lot of them without going to school and so on. And so he did a four-year course in about 4 months. Remarkable man. And he laid on the floor in his aunt's living room, and he used the barbells. And when he got done with that 4 months, he looks like Mr. Gargantua, you know. Plus the fact he took the test for the examination, passed it, top of the class again, for being a psychiatrist. And then his visas and everything else ended, and he was going to have to leave the country. And I said, "Don't." I said, "Dream a little, dream a little, dream a little bit." So he dreamt a little bit, and shortly thereafter, he was hired as the second in command of a psychiatric institute. You know, a fantastic man. Now, that's dreaming. That's putting your mind in motion, that's putting your thoughts in motion, by putting your ideas in motion. Now, this woman, Sibyl, she is just fantastic. in Nigeria, she's building this church. She has this already, and she's using her home now as a church. And she has maybe 50 to 100 people in there every Sunday or more. And they come through the jungle to get to her house and things like that. And now her daughter is in London also. And her daughter studied to be a banker. And she was a very excellent banker. She had a job. She had married and it didn't work out, and she was raising her son by herself. But she studied to be a banker, and she worked in this bank and was very highly regarded, very highly receptive to it. And she says, I don't like this. She says, I'd want to be a mathematician. So she decided that she's going to take the course of being a university mathematician, a professor in the university and teaching math. So she went to school nights while she was raising her child, while she was having her banking job. And within, like for her too, 4 months, Chioma, in 4 months, she got her master's degree ready to be a professor at the university teaching mathematics. And she is good. She's fantastic. But, you know, she has a body like Twiggy, and she's just a personality like all outdoors, just great, wonderful person. But she believes in herself. She believes. Now, these things, she didn't necessarily learn from us, but she learned it through her mother and through the teachings and through these things, and she changed her entire life to become the most wonderful, powerful expression that ever could be, because she believed and she put it into motion and she didn't limit herself. You cannot do 4 years of college in 4 months. Well, she didn't do 4 years of college in 4 months. She read the materials one would normally read in a four-year course in 4 months. And with her retentive ability, she passed all of the courses top of the line. Excuse me. And the wonderful thing is, she didn't have to remember from reading the book to taking the test such a long period of time in between. She had it right there. And she did very well. And now, she's very happy with her new program, her new teaching assignment in London. But she said, I think I would like to go to America. Naturally, you know? So now she has assignments, and not assignments, but opportunities to come and teach in America. And she's looking at a house in California that she'd like to buy. And the house costs some $300,000, just a simple little house, you know. And I said to her, well, you could probably get funding for that. Oh, no, I'm paying cash. Here she is raising her son by himself. His name is Ibu Bey. And putting herself through school, taking care of all of these things, doing umpty-dump whatever. On the weekends, her aunt comes over and babysits the kid, and she goes out with her girlfriends and has a good time. And amazing girl. Amazing. But where did the money come from? Where did these... That doesn't matter. Every time she snaps her finger, she is Catherine Kuhlman. You're healed. You know, in the name of Jesus, in the name of my snapping finger, it's done. That's applied psychology. That's putting it to work for you, for anything that you want it to be. And I'm not saying that you should go out and do things that the world considers foolish. I'm not saying that you should do it, but I'm saying that if you don't do it, you're not doing it right. Don't let any of the limitations of the world say to you it can't be done. Don't let any of the limitations of the world say that it's not for you. Your background, your area of learning doesn't allow for that. Who knows what your area of learning allows for? Who knows what you are ready for? Who knows what you're going to walk into and demonstrate yourself as right now? Who knows? You do. So do it. Is this someone that you know? Is he wonderful? Yes, he is wonderful. So, you are ready to put these causes in motion now. You are ready to have some fantastic things happen right now. And that's what it's all about. And he's telling her that it's 4 o'clock and time for her to head for the hills. But that's the way it is when you have grandsons around like that. Especially when they're good drivers and do beautiful things. Now, we can go on because we do have many more things that we can share. I do not have to die. My cells live eternal. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Singing directs my undifferentiated stem cells. And we've talked to this before. If you say, I'm an old cowboy on the lone prairie. I want to be buried with my boots on. Oh, bury me. I mean, and we sing those songs and we get away with it. But you see, what we can also sing is, I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy as I can be. I like to live as a king and a queen. I live that way for me. Say anything you want. Sing anything. That's not bad, you know. But say anything you want. Live in this dynamic attitude. Sing. Because when you sing, your inner self doesn't object. When you say it, I'm holding perfect, I'm holding perfect. Your inner self says, yeah, sure. Nah, you know. But when you sing, that's why we have that song in our songbook there. It's about, I'm holding perfect, if a body want a body that is well and strong, he must think a perfect body, think it all day long. Think up, what's the rest of it? If a body want a body that is well and strong, he must think a perfect body, think it all day long. Think a perfect body all day long. Oh, think a perfect body all day long. Where's your blue song book, my love? There.
Which number it is?
I don't know which number it is. It's coming through the rye. And it's a good... But see, these are good songs. Can be right about here someplace. I Like Me. I Got the Whole World in My Hands. Oh, no. The More We Get Together. I'm Free. Now, oh yeah, this is a good one too, but we'll come back to that. Now, I'm Only Perfection. 3 Good Thoughts. Come on now. See, when I printed the books the first time, I had it all, my favorite ones, up in front. Okay, here we go. I demonstrate a perfect body. And they put different words in here because they wanted to make it more modern. As I see my perfect body, perfect, well, and strong. So I think a perfect body, think it all day long. Lovingly I view my body, perfect, perfectly. I live within my perfect body, perfect, perfectly. Not bad. Okay, so if a body want a body that is whole and strong, he must think a perfect body, think it all day long. Lovingly I view my body, perfect, perfectly. I live within my perfect body, perfect, perfectly. Now, you say that and your mind says, ha, ha, ha. You sing it and your body and mind says, hey, that's kind of charming. That's kind of interesting. Singing it, you can get away with all sorts of good things. Now, here's another one. This is great. And I'm going to look right at this mirror right here. See, right here. Okay. Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Each time I look in the mirror, I see only God in me. To know me is to love me. I know I am God, God I am. Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Now I am only perfection, and I'm perfect in every way. Now I know I am God, God I am. Now I know I am God, God I am. Now you see, when you sing these things, you do all sorts of silly stuff. Each time I look in the mirror, I see only God in me. Wow! Isn't that wonderful? I have such a wonderful memory. I have such a wonderful mind. I have such a wonderful memory. I have such a wonderful mind. I am God. I am God. I have such a wonderful memory. I am God. I am God. I have such a wonderful mind. And now, this one here is one that we mess up pretty powerfully on. And who are you? Number one?
Number one.
Number one?
Number one.
Are you all number one? Okay. Now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that is meant to be. I am God the Creator, one as all my world, walking with my creation in perfect harmony. Now there is peace in all, for this is the moment now. With every step I take, I offer my solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Now there is peace on earth, for it began with me. And here it says, for it has begun with me. It began with me. I shorten things and boom, bring that stuff right in there where it should be. Now, there's one other one here that I know that you know, and you sing it very nicely. Now, I'm going to quiz you on this. When I'm done, you got to tell me what I said. Okay? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. Because that's all there is. Now you see, we can do so many things when we're singing songs, because in singing songs, you get away with it. You get away with it. Have you ever seen a little boy come in after having done something that was not good? And he comes in the house and he says, "Mommy, here's some flowers for you." A big smile on his face, flowers in his hand, and you're gonna spank the kid or get after him for being naughty. I mean, you know? This is the way it is when you sing. When you sing, your mind can't object. Your mind just accepts the fact that you're doing these things. And the sillier you are, the better. The sillier you are as you're singing, as you're doing things, the better. It's fantastic. So, remember, this is part of the advanced psychology that we're working on. Now, I am perfect health, comfort, immortality. Are you perfect health, comfort, and immortality? Are you? Are you? Do you realize that every single thing about you is fantastic? Do you realize that right now every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect? Did you realize that there is everything in you which is magnificent and fabulous right now? Did you realize that there is no improvement to be made? Merely you say, "Open your eyes. Open your eyes." She walked across that log. She says, "No way would I cross that chasm, you know? Close your eyes. Believe in me." And she believes in me. I mean, I'm a great con artist. She believes in me. And we walk across the log. A friend of mine, I told her, I said, "You want to go down the Mississippi River with me in a canoe and through the Caribbean and up the Pacific to San Diego?" "You would never catch me in a canoe going down the Mississippi River and out in the Caribbean. No way." And I said, I bet you would go. She says, "No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't." I said, "If I were to say abracadabra, you know, and hypnotize her and have her sleep the entire time, she'd go." She didn't know she was going, but her body went. And her mind was somewhere around there, but she'd say no. Never say no. Do you think that it is silly about this Rolls Royce? Do you think it's silly about this man that comes along and says, "My goodness, you're a cool lady, you know. I would like to be engaged to you." Well, maybe. Give us time to think about it. Don't forget, just because I'm engaged doesn't mean I made a definite decision. It's just that I'm not with anybody else right at the moment. And so he plies her with lovely gifts. And he says, "These are all for you, whether we go through with our relationship or not. It's all for you." And so he buys her these lovely houses and gives her this big banking account, all this, all these things. Is that so crazy? Do you know about Trump? What's his name? Donald Trump? And what does he do with each wife? After he has this beautiful, fantastic, twiggly woman living with him for a period of a few months or years or whatever, then they separate, and she has a lovely token of their happy times together. They didn't hate each other. They were just ready to... She was getting too familiar and he was getting not familiar enough. So that's all part of the name of the game, you know. Are you ready to live your life so completely that you put the cause in motion for any desire of your heart? Now, what are you going to do about this? What's that called?
Massage.
Energy massage.
Energy massage.
Energy massage. You do that, and you know what you're doing? You're saying to all the cells of your body, "I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, oh, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me." And if you don't think your body is going to tingle and get up and jump and be happy when you're done doing that, you'll be surprised. If you will give yourself that energy massage every single day, either in the morning or evening or both, and even more often, you watch. Your body will get up and jump for joy. And if you have any illness, poof, it's gone. Yes? 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 It's so true. Any illness, no matter what it is that bugs us, it's gone. But it is up to us to put the cause in motion and be consistent with it. And be consistent. No. This is my closing notes for you today, and that's called consistency. If you are not consistent, if you can let... You know, when I was a young man, some 7,500 years ago or so, I was changing the color of my hair, you know, from blonde to gray or white. and I thought, I don't want to do that. So I bought this L'Oreal hair coloring, you know, and I changed my hair color back to blonde. Did you know me during that time? And yeah, she knew me during that time. And so I changed it back to blonde. And of course, I thought I looked just great. I didn't see me as other people saw me. That's what the guy does, you know. And so one little kid came up to me one day, nice kid, really friendly, nice, observant kid. And he says, "You know, Dr. Barlow, you're a nice guy." I said, "Thank you very much." He says, "Why do you color your hair?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, that's not the normal color of your hair. Your hair is gray, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I can see that it's gray. Everybody else can see it as gray. Why bother, you know?" And I thought to myself, who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? So I stopped coloring it. And then I didn't have to be concerned about going swimming in the swimming pool anymore, because it would always turn green when I swim in the swimming pool. But you see, these are the silly things. Now, did I really like myself? I like myself enough to do the silly thing. But the thing is, did I really like myself? Did I really think that I was doing the right thing? Why did I bother? One time, I was coloring my hair, and I was in my motorhome, and I was up in Duluth, Minnesota. And while I was there, I was getting ready for my service and so forth. And so I was at my vice president's house, and I was in my motorhome, and I washed my hair and put the coloring on. And then when I was ready to take the coloring off, it had frozen outside, and everything froze, and the water froze solid, and it wouldn't run through my faucets. And so there I was with all that gook in my hair, and I had to go in their house and say to them, "Would you mind if I use your bathroom?" And they sort of snickered and said, "Go ahead." But isn't it silly? It's like that young fellow, the tall 6'8" kid, and he had two just beautiful daughters in my head. But he belonged to a group. And so on New Year's Eve, you know what the temperature is on New Year's Eve in Duluth, Minnesota? It's cold. You know, way below zero. They went up as a New Year's Eve thing, and they were up in this airplane, he and his friends, and they jumped out of the airplane with parachutes naked. I mean, crazy. Now, that's just like coloring your hair. It's crazy. Totally outrageous, totally unnecessary. The real you always comes through. Well, their wives and their girlfriends and what have you were waiting for them when they landed with blankets to keep them cozy again. But isn't it silly, the things that we do? The things that we do, which we don't really have to do. All we have to do is say, "I am God, God I am. I like me." And take your energy massage and let beautiful things happen to you. You're ready for it.
Yes.
You're ready for it. But be consistent. If somebody comes up to you and says, "You have gray hair." And you say, "Phew, hadn't noticed, but I guess so. You know, no big deal. Do you like what I'm doing with my hair now?" "Yeah, that's okay. You know, thank you." But you see, no judgment. "You're a terrible person." "Oh, really? How can I improve? You know, how can I improve? You want me to get more terrible or less terrible? You know, how can I improve?" And whoever is playing the game with you, they find, "You're incorrigible. There's nothing I can do about that." And they just let us alone. And so when you say, "I'm whole and perfect," and people get wind that you say you're whole and perfect, and they say, "I know all about you. I know what your problems are." And you just hang in there. Then, as you are consistent and stay with it, you will demonstrate, you'll reveal that wholeness and that perfection. And then, no one will ever remember that you were not whole and perfect all the time. See, this is the big thing. No one will ever remember that you were not always whole and perfect. And this is the beautiful thing. Be consistent. Stay with it. Be powerful with it. And know that it's who you are. Your white stem cells, these beautiful, undifferentiated stem cells, are just waiting for you to tell them what you want them to do. And I would start out with saying, "Hi, white stem cells. Hi, undifferentiated stem cells. Hi, stem cells. I love you. I love you. I love you." Just saying that, you feel good. "I love you. I love you. I love you." You know? And those cells are going to say, "I like being here. What can we do? Let's party. Let's have fun." And party doesn't always mean something negative, as it never does. It means tribulation, jubilation, happy time. So, enjoy. Now, are there any questions that any of you have at this moment? We pretty well answered everything, but if there's anything that's come up individually... You had something?
No.
No? You didn't? My goodness, you didn't?
No.
Can we get that song?
How can she get the song book?
The blue book.
How do you get a hold of those blue books? Well, they're printing them up. Evelyn?
Evelyn? Charge?
Helen? Would you like to make them available if we send them to you? She has a few downstairs, but we'll make up a package and send it to you, and that way she can sell them to you. But they're wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're getting newer ones out too. And they're coming up with all sorts of good things. Isn't it fun? I love my work. Because it's not work. It's a joy. Did you want to say something to anybody about anything?
No, well, this talk continues tomorrow on your stem cells. And please invite somebody to come to church tomorrow, because you know tomorrow is tithing, and you know what tithing is all about. You know what I mean? Well, then I come to know, to see how to hear themselves and look forward to a great and wonderful future. And with all of this, we're going to put a pastor to the door. So when you're passing, this is strictly for Dr. Barry. So please remember to put an offering in the door. Let us all stand.
Thank you.
Dr. Barry, we love you.
Thank you. I accept.
Okay, Dr. Barry, we love you.
Love you.
I accept.
We love you. We love you. And let me introduce this young lady. She's from Canada. Those of you who remember Mr. Cheeks, the headmaster of BG Educational Trust. Yes, it's his, one of his daughters. Yes. So she's here. She's an artist student. You've gone far, far away. I think she's a doctorate right now. You know, she's very humble. She's full of humility. Very humble. Thank you again for just come in for the weekend to stir up that gift within her. And we welcome you. We bless you and we appreciate you. Thanks again for coming. Okay? I see what God sees you now. Filled with the light, love, peace, joy, and power of God. And blessed in Jesus' name. And together you say, amen.
Amen.
And the loving Spirit of God goes before you, making everything clear, easy, joyous, happy, and successful. I bless you, and you say, I bless me. Now on, I bless me. I love me. God, I, you know, he don't like you to say God bless you because you are God. Okay, and that God's spirit right within you must always be alive.
We have the song, God Bless America. And one of our students said, no. I'm God. I bless America.
Amen.
I bless America, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within. From the mountains to the valleys to the ocean white with foam. I bless America, my home, sweet home. I bless America, my home, sweet home. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. Remember tomorrow at 11 a.m. for the finale.
The finale. Okay. You're wonderful.
Thank you. Jason, the young men are here. Huh? They'll be right back. Or tell me as soon as they